All right, so we're in mitzvah number 5. So we need to find mitzvah number 5. It says, Sefer HaChinuch, Lishchot b'yom yudalet b'nisan ben ha'arba'im setamim zachar ben shana ogdi b'vet ha'pchira v'ze nikra korban ha'pesach. So the mitzvah is, first mitzvah of Pesach is not lil ha'seder, not eating matzah, rather to be shocked in the Pesach. All right, slaughter the sacrifice. When? In yom yudalet b'nisan ben ha'arba'im. The twilight, the afternoon of Yudalet ben Nisan, the 14th of Nisan, Setamim Zachar ben Shana, I need to be 1 year old, Ogdi Bevet HaBechira, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do it, Veze Nikra Korban Pesach, this is Korban Pesach, Sheneemar, the Pasuk says, Veshachtu Oto, Kol Kahal Adat Israel Ben HaArbaim, that's when we do it, is in Ben HaArbaim. He says, Ve'inan HaMitzvah, Hu Shemitkabtzin Anashim Yisrael LeChavurot, what is the Inan of the Mitzvah? Now, it's a little bit difficult for us to understand it because we live in a world where there's no temple, there's no Beis Mikdash. So how exactly can we relate to Korban Pesach? What does it mean? So he tells us that the mitzvah is that Korban Pesach is eating in what is eaten in what is called Chabura. Chabura is a Chabura, right? It's been like a group, a gathering. A community, in a sense, but it's a very small community. Usually it's a family, the parents, the children, the grandparents, sometimes maybe aunts, cousins, and so on. They sit together, they bring the korban, they slaughter it, and then they can eat it together in a chabura. It's a beautiful, beautiful idea, beautiful mitzvah. And that's what he says, that the slaughtering of Korban Pesach is need to be done in chabura. Velokhin min hashuk o mi beitam. They need to buy from the market if they don't have, or they can grow their own. They need to bring a gdi echad, o setamim, right? It can be a lamb, it can be a gdi. How do you say gdi in English?
A kid.
Yeah. A kid. That kid, not a different kid, right? They're slaughtering a kid. It sounds really bad. Very, very bad. I feel like Christians can make a lot of arguments based on this, right?
Yeah.
Slaughter, just slaughter kids. Okay.
Maybe.
No,
they weren't English speaking initially.
Blood libel happened in England.
Yeah, really?
I think it was in the 9th century.
Really?
I think so.
Really?
And it was...
There's a classic one about the Jews making matzah out of Christian children's blood, right? So we talk about Pesach.
I don't remember the details now. I read about it many, many years ago. But that's what I have in my memory.
Yeah.
That it was in England, promoted by a priest, of course.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's not history. There's also today enough groups and people that are still right, believing in those kind of theories, unfortunately. Anyway, so this kid or this lamb that they're or buying.
Maybe you should use the term.
Yeah, right? That's why we use it. So gdi or said that they buy or grow raised in their houses, and they bring it shochtin oto be'azarat bet hamikdash be'yom yudalet b'nisan ben arba'im ve'achar kach la'erev ochlin oto at the night. They need to eat it ven kulam achar ma'achalam shemitzvato lo'ochlo al ha'sova. They need to eat it and they are full. Mishol she'hamitzvah. Now the Sefer HaChinuch likes to talk about the root of the mitzvah. What is the root of the mitzvah? He says mishol she'hamitzvah z'ashoresh kedei she'izkeru ha'yehudim le'olam hanisim agdolim she'asa lehem Hashem be'yitziat Mitzrayim. Jews need to remember the miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. Not only one miracle, right? We talk about Yitziat Mitzrayim as one miracle, but this is a mistake. Yitziat Mitzrayim is a bunch of miracles, different miracles that happened all together, all right? That brought Am Yisrael from slavery to freedom, brought them out of Egypt. And what is the dini? What is the dini ha-mitzvah? Dini ha-mitzvah, kegon zman shchitato bayom, eimat, when are we supposed to slaughter it? Veshu nishchat b'shalosh kitot ba'azarat, and it needs to be slaughtered by 3 groups. And where exactly? What about Shabbos, right? What about if Pesach is on Erev Shabbos, or his entire Mishnah talks about Erev Pesach on Erev Shabbos? V'dine minuyav, how exactly do you bring it? What happens if I want to pay you and you will buy for me? All those kind of questions about the slaughtering and so on. Chiyat ha'alel alav, tkiyat chatzatzrot, yetar pratei amuvarim b'masechet Pesachim. We have a total, I would say, whole, complete 10 chapters of Masechta and the Mishnah, and then there is a Gemara on it, Masechet Pesachim. Pesachim, exactly, which is very interesting. Masechta, it's part of Seder Moed, and the Mishnah is assembled out of 10 chapters, and the chapters go according to a timeline. exactly according to the timeline from the morning. What can you do? When can you eat? How do you slaughter the Pesach and so on? All the different halachot. How do you eat the Pesach and so on? Then chametz. How do you clean for chametz? Right. So on. And then at the end, the last chapter talks about Leil HaSeder and so on. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. When do you check the chametz and so on? All those kind of things are in Masechet Pesachim. Also this, ve'noheged bischarim unkevot bezman abayit. Both men and women are obligated for Korban Pesach, not only men. All right, it's a mitzvah that is also on women, not only on men. Ve'aover aleha b'meizid ve'lo asa Pesach chayav karet. There's two mitzvot, and we already met one of the mitzvot, right? There's two mitzvot that are aseh, which means they're active mitzvot. And if a person decides actively not to do, not to practice, he is entitled to the worst punishment that Judaism has, which is karet, which is total extinction from the world for him, for his, for his offspring, everyone. He will just be removed, deleted from the world totally. This is the worst punishment that it has, not only in this world, but also in Olam Haba. Just one second. And these are two mitzvot. One is Pesach, all right? Slaughter of the Pesach, which is very interesting. Why? We'll talk about it in a minute. And the second one we learned is Brit Milah. All right, Brit Milah. Those two mitzvot that if a person decides actively not to perform, he is entitled for karet, which is very, very, very harsh, very interesting. Yeah.
Now the question is, the reference is a physical one or a practical one?
What, the punishment?
No, the karet.
Yeah, the punishment.
If it's a physical one, in other words, the person needs to be actually killed, or it's just a matter of being excommunication. Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of there's an idea. The Rambam talks about it. What exactly is karet? How does it look like, and so on? Because it's not a punishment that like we can see. It's not something that we can do. Karet doesn't mean that the Beis Din or the court comes and executes the person.
Yes.
Right? It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of it in his own ways. We have no idea how.
In other words, the community shuts.
It's so harsh that even court cannot handle this. In other words, it's up to Yedei Shamayim. How would that happen? Now it's interesting because there's two mitzvot we say, Brit Milah and Korban Pesach. Now Brit Milah, we might understand why. Because Brit Milah is covenant, it's the person becomes Jewish, that his covenant with God. When he decides that he doesn't want to make Brit Milah, he doesn't want to go through that, then maybe he says, don't want the covenant with God. So maybe we can understand it. Why Pesach? Like, from all the mitzvahs in the Torah, where you can think about such a harsh punishment if a person doesn't fulfill Pesach. And let me tell you more than that. Because Pesach is such an important mitzvah, we have something in Pesach that we don't have in any other mitzvah. And this is what? What do we have in Pesach that we don't have in any other mitzvah? A second chance. Pesach Sheni. We have Pesach Sheni 1 month exactly after Pesach. We celebrate what is called Pesach Sheni. Now, what is Pesach Sheni? Pesach Sheni is the Pesach for those who did not bring the Pesach sacrifice in the first one for different reasons. Halacha discusses who can bring it in Pesach Sheni and so on, right? Someone that was traveling and he couldn't come, and there's different. But if someone missed the first opportunity, the Torah gives him a second chance.
Yeah, but not if it was intentionally not done.
Exactly. So there's limits about what and so on. But because it's so important, we don't want people to miss it. So why Pesach is the one for karet? Like, what's so important on it?
Participation in the faith of the people.
I think you're right.
Cutting out the common unifying sort of silver line.
So I think you're right, and I would maybe phrase it a little bit differently. I think, again, there's a lot of answers for this, and the Rambam gives and so on, there's a lot of answers. If I blend a couple of the answers, I would say that Pesach stands for something that is both, I would say, Ben Adam Lechavero, but also Ben Adam Lamako. In what way? That first of all, we said it's Ben Adam Lamako, and how? This is a sacrifice that we do every year to say, Kadosh Baruch Hu brought us out of Egypt, and by bringing us out of Egypt, we became one free people to worship Kadosh Baruch Hu. This led to Aseret HaDibrot and Har Sinai. Eventually, after 40 years, led to us getting into Israel and so on, right? That's like such an important idea in our Jewish world that really brings, unites Am Yisrael with the Kadosh Baruch Hu as we are his people and he is our God. That's for this side. Ben Adam Lechavero, that it is eaten in Chaburot. And the moment you say, I don't want to partake in the Pesach, then not only you say, I don't mind this thing that happened with God, that he brought us out of Egypt, I also say, I don't want to do anything with my friends, with my family. That's not something that I want to do. Now, how do we start the Haggadah, the Magid section? How do we start it? What is the first passage? And now I'm spoiling it because we're going to have a series very soon, starting next week. We're going to learn the Haggadah. What is the first passage that we say in Magid? Remember?
You remind me.
Halachmania. Deachlu avatana dea be'arad emitzrayim. Kol dichfin itay v'yichol. Kol ditzrich itay v'yifsach. Hashta'acha. Leshana abba be'arad Yisrael. Hashta avde leshana abba b'nei chorim. That's what we say, the first passage. First passage is in Aramaic. What do we say? We say, this is lachma'ania. This is bread of poverty, right? That we ate, our ancestors ate in the land of Egypt. Anyone that needs should come and join us. Anyone that needs should come and eat and partake in the Pesach sacrifice. We invite other people. The first passage of the Haggadah is to invite other people to join us in the Seder. Whether there's poor people, people that don't have where to do the Seder, people that don't know how to do the Seder. Lel HaSeder is all about the family and friend and the community. There's a communal aspect of Pesach. And that's part that comes from this. Because that was eaten in Chaburot, and also Lel HaSeder is done in Chaburot. Right? We gather all together. So if someone says, I don't want to take any part in all of this, he says two stuff. First of all, he says, I don't care what Kadosh Baruch Hu did for us and all the good that he did when we left Egypt. But he also says, I don't care about any of us. I don't care about any of you. And those two declarations are so bad that there is karet behind it. And we don't find this, I would say, joint meaning, reasoning in any other mitzvah so strong. All right? So that's one. That's for my understanding, can be a good answer for that. All right? Let's continue the mitzvah. Oh, we moved to mitzvah vav. All right, we finished mitzvah five. Mitzvah five was shachting the Pesach. Yeah.
Can I ask? I have two small questions.
Please.
One is that I'm always confused when I think that the Jews before left Egypt, they were sitting down to do a Pesach. They had the sacrifice there. So in that case, they weren't yet liberated from, well, they were maybe liberated.
You talk about the first Pesach in Egypt.
Yes. So I it's a little bit foggy for me. That
it's a very, very good question. It's a very good question, which has a very long answer.
Okay.
To make it very, very short, I'll tell you two stuff. First of all, I very much invite you. I'm starting next week on every Wednesday night. We have a shiur, a series going on. We're starting a new series exactly next week where we're going to learn the Haggadah. We're going to go step by step, word by word in the Haggadah. We're going to learn it from different angles, different perspectives. You can ask Michael, which is one of the regulars that come to all the Wednesday night series, which we have already some miles with us in learning.
What time?
Isn't it 7 o'clock?
No, this one's going to be at 8:15. Because there's going to be time change in the middle.
Miles.
What?
I have lots of shiur miles.
Shiur miles. Baruch Hashem. Scharalicha. Scharalicha. Baruch Hashem. So it's going to be 8:15. It's going to be 8:15 because we have the time change. So that means Mariv in one time, Shkia will be 7:30 at mid-March. Something like that. We changed the clock like in the beginning of March, mid-March. So Mariv, I checked that. Mariv will be like 7:30, so we're going to do 8:15.
Okay.
So 8:15 on Wednesdays. It's an hour shiur. It's a presentation. So there's going to be sources. We're going to go step by step. That's, first of all, I very much invite you, free, open for everyone. You should come. If you want to come, just let me, I'll take your emails and I can register you to the email list. You will get the, all the emails about it. That's first. And you need to register Michael. I think you haven't registered. Maybe you did. We need to check that. Probably not. My shorter answer for that, I will answer it longly then. My shorter answer for your question would be that there is two different holidays. There is Pesach Mitzrayim, which is a Pesach that was celebrated only once in history in Egypt. And all the subsequent years afterwards are a different holiday. It's called Pesach Dorot, which is a totally different holiday. One is mentioned in Sefer Shmot. The other one is mentioned in Sefer Devarim. All right, we have two commandments on what it looks like to be the same holiday, but they have different halachot. All right, and so on. We'll talk about all of this. All right. But it's not the same holiday.
This is a very good way of wanting me to come, because I really would
like to. There you go. So we'll talk about all of this.
So the other question is that what happens to vegetarians, which happens to us? And we always put a fake bone, you know.
Uh-huh. Wow. Psh, ooh, wow. Ooh, wow.
Sorry.
No, but that's a very difficult question.
Not that I want to cut myself out of this at all, but I happen not to eat meat.
No, first of all, we don't eat the zroa. So that's first of all to say. Yeah, we don't eat the bone, right? We don't eat.
It's
just on the table.
Seder, yeah. I mean, I know that in Hungary, they used to still kill chicken, you know, like they did the kaparot.
Like kaparot?
And they killed the chicken, but...
A chicken? It's supposed to be, meat. But,
yeah, meat, but I don't know.
Especially in Eastern Europe, in the 20th century, earlier 20th century, especially when the economic conditions were not great, also the availability. Yeah.
It was expensive, and yeah.
It wasn't available.
Interesting,
not practically... Exactly.
Interesting. I would just say that you should ask a better halachic authority than I am this question. You should go and ask Rabbi Lipner about this. No, really.
This was a rabbinic
guide. Interesting.
For individuals.
I mean, it's not only problems, not only with Pesach, which where vegans and vegetarians have problems, like what happened to a vegetarian person who wants to put tefillin on, right? Like a tefillin made out of animals. Like, yeah, what about this? Or like,
you don't eat.
You don't eat it, but you still use an animal for a different thing.
Yeah, but it's not being a vegetarian. I mean, there are different kinds.
It's like people that don't wear, for example, they're not going to put leather shoes, for example.
Or vegan.
Interesting. I don't know.
Use animal products or animal.
Yeah, I assume there's different opinions also on this one. I'll just say, really, I don't have an answer. I really don't know. I would just suggest you can ask someone that really knows probably what he's talking about.
But I was just you are not a vegetarian, I think.
Yeah.
So, do you in your family slaughter?
No, definitely not. We'll talk about it. We don't do it anymore today.
Okay, fine. Right.
There are some people in Israel that try to do it. By the way, not only Israelis, there is a Shomronim that also do it every year. Okay. It's very interesting. We'll talk about it in the the series with the show.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
They want to do it on Har HaBayit, but they don't let them come with... Yeah, it's very interesting. Every year someone tries to bring a lamb to Har HaBayit to slaughter it. It's very interesting, very fun. All right, so the second mitzvah of Pesach is Le'echol Basar HaPesach, mitzvah 6, Le'echol Basar HaPesach Belel 15 Benisan Al Pit Naim Shebakatuv Shenemar V'ichlu Et HaBasar B'Layla. This is eating the meat, not slaughtering it, but eating it. It's also a mitzvah. All right, you see, there's different small mitzvot around Pesach. All right, mishol she mitzvah zo. What is the root of the mitzvah? Ma shekatavnu b'shchitato. The same thing as we said. He says in the shchita, in the slaughtering, kedei lizkor hanisim agdolim shasa lanu ha'el sheotziyanu me'avdut, being slaves and turning into free nation. Dinei ha'mitzvah, how much a person should eat, and so on. What happens if a person needs to be yotze min ha'chabura? That's one of the halachot. A person that started in the chabura cannot go out and join another chabura. One of the ramifications for halacha is what we call afikoman, right? Now, I know we're before Purim, and our heads are not yet in Pesach, but I'm just telling you and encouraging you, because Pesach is in less than 6 weeks, all right? It's in 5 weeks from now, so we should start talking about it. We have enough the afikoman, right? So what is afikoman? That's a word
dessert.
We do... Okay, so that's one of the opinions, that afikoman is dessert, right? And we also know that because apikomen, for example, in modern Greek, means, for example, farewell. That comes from dessert, all right? That's correct. The Gemara brings another opinions by Rav. What is afikoman? Apikomana. What is apikomana? A person that takes out his meal. In other words, he says that afikoman means that a person should not bring back the dishes or set back, I would say, clean his table before and go to join a different chabura. All right, go to join a different family. Sometimes what we do also here is that you eat your Shabbos meal, for example, and you go for dessert for a different family. Uh-huh. On Pesach, you're not allowed to do so. In Korban Pesach, you need to eat everything until the end. Don't go and join a different chabur. There's a lot of halachot. All of this appear in Masechet Pesachim. Very interesting. Masechta, very much recommended to learn. Venoheget bitzchamim unkevot, eating it is both for men and women. Over aleha bitel aseh. וכלל גדול בכל התורה לכל שאומר שיבטל מצוות עשה שכופינו אותו בית דין אם יש כוח באדם אשר יקיימנו. Now he says, if there is a mitzvot asse, an active mitzvah, which a person decides not to do, there is a klal, there is a ruling in all the Torah that beis din, the court, can force him to do so. Alright? The beis din can force a person to do a mitzvah in different ways. How and so on, that's for a different discussion. All right, but we have this ruling that Beis Din can force a person to do a mitzvah. That mitzvah 6, eating the Pesach. Mitzvah 7, not eating the Pesach raw or cooked. All right, there's a mitzvah, not eating the sacrifice raw or cooked. Take a look in mitzvah 7. We're not allowed to eat the sacrifice not cooked and not raw or slightly, you see that he's slightly roasted. It sounds very good. A slightly roasted lamb. So it's not a slice, we're not allowed to. Rather, it needs to be a tzliesh. Tzliesh, it needs to be on fire. It needs to be burnt, all right, to eat it. The Torah explicitly said what is how should a person cook his korban pesach, which is very interesting to think about, right? Like, why would the Torah give us directions, instructions how to cook the sacrifice?
But it's very interesting.
And how to eat it?
But
and
if it's not, if it's just slightly roasted, then maybe it has blood.
Maybe it has blood and so on. Okay, that's interesting. But we have other stuff. But you're also not allowed to eat it cooked, for example, or other ways, right? But it's only on edge. But take a look. Why? Why does it say that? V'zehu, he says, "Ha'inyan hazeh shelo yochal oto kodem gemar bishulo afilu betzli v'zehu perush na." That means that he should not eat it before it is well done, right? When you go to a burger place, if that's a fine burger place and they know what they're doing, and we have here in South Africa that I know they understand what real good meat is, they should come and ask you, how do you want your burger, right? Do you want it rare, medium well, or well done, right? And only people that don't know, and excuse me if you're one of those, who don't appreciate good meat, I know you're vegetarian, so excuse me, who don't appreciate good meat will order it well done, right? Which is really, really, really bad. However, when we talk about the Pesach sacrifice, it's not like that. The more burnt, the better. All right? That's how we do it in the Korban Pesach. Which is very interesting. Right? I know, again, I'm saying there's a South African here that probably he says, like, there's no way this is better. But for Korban Pesach, this is better. I'm sorry for all the meat lovers that listen to us.
I only eat well done.
You eat well done? You're not a real suffer.
I don't like raw meat.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, but if it's not well done, there is blood.
So take a look. It doesn't need to be well done for blood. We can eat, it's kosher to eat a medium rare.
Slightly pink in the middle.
Exactly. A good steak is not totally brown inside. It's slightly red, pink.
But is it not, if it's pink,
it's not blood. It's fine to eat it. It's fine.
I'm sure not.
It's not blood. If it's a kosher shechita, there's no blood.
Yeah.
The salt takes the blood out.
The salt takes the blood. There's melicha. There's kisuidan. There's a lot of steps on the way for shechita. Yes, I feel uncomfortable having this discussion with vegetarians.
No problem.
Okay.
My son is not vegetarian.
Okay. Here you go. All right. So he says. He says, "What is raw when a person should not eat it? Not because of blood, but it's not for a person to eat it. Like it's too raw." Now, we'll say it's very interesting because there is also ramification for halacha for Shabbos. How come? There is an idea of muktzeh on Shabbos, and we learned it also in Hilchot Shabbos. The idea of muktzeh, what is muktzeh? Muktzeh is something that we're not allowed to touch or move right on Shabbos. There's different definitions for muktzeh for different reasons. One of the things of muktzeh is called muktzeh michamat. You can't do a thing. I'll give you an example. What happens if there is a bag of potatoes at home on Shabbos? A person cannot go and grab a potato. Why not?
You mean, like
just a potato, raw. A raw potato. You why cannot, it's muktzeh. Why not? Because it's called muktzeh michamat gufo. What is muktzeh michamat gufo? That means that the object itself has no meaning in the world. You cannot do anything with it. And if you cannot do anything with an object, it's muktzeh. For example, a person cannot lift a rock from the ground on Shabbos. Why? Because a rock has no meaning in the world. Behind it stands that everything we do on Shabbos should have meaning. It's a very elevated day, the most elevated of the week. It's a meaningful day. It's a spiritual day, not only with our meals, with our davenings, with our actions, but also with our small actions. Everything we do is supposed to have meaning behind it, and also the objects we use are supposed to have reason, meaning. So, if I'm using a rock, I just want to lift a rock because it's a beautiful rock, I'm not allowed to on Shabbos. It's muktzeh. But if I, before Shabbos, said, this rock is meant to hold the door from not closing, there's no problem. Because this rock now has value, has purpose in the world. Same thing would be with raw meat. One of the ramifications for halacha is raw meat. Can someone just grab raw meat on Shabbos? According to many poskim, specifically from ancient times, they say no, it's muktzeh. Why is it muktzeh? Because it's not edible. A person cannot eat raw meat. There's no purpose for that. You need to cook it. You need to do stuff with it. Like, so as you're not going to cook it on Shabbos because you're not allowed to. So as raw meat, you're not allowed to use it on Shabbos. So you cannot carry it from one place to another. However, we live in life where I can still, like, Baruch Hashem, I hear my grandmother still saying, like, how can people really think of eating it? Where people eat raw fish, for example. People eat raw meat, right? There is ceviche, that for fish. There is carpaccio, that for meat. And people eat sushi all around. Like, people eat today raw meat and fish. Now, there's way, how do you do it? There's melecha a little bit. Maybe you need to put some lemon or some vinegar and so on. Like, there's a lot of ideas behind. But people today eat more raw meat and fish than they ate before. And I know because my grandmother said, like, this is not edible. Like you would not give it to someone. But the generation has changed, and today people appreciate also raw meat and fish. So one of the questions is, in our life, is that still muktzeh? If I know I can have this steak, and I can cut it very, very, very thin, and eat it, and nothing bad will happen to me because people still eat it, and it counts to be a very good dish, is that muktzeh? Or not. So there's different opinions for halacha. For that, some say, no, it's not muktzeh anymore. Because in our life, we eat raw meat. According to Korban Pesach, in a world where people did not eat raw meat, this was considered to be bad. You're not allowed to have your Korban Pesach raw, in a sense. If it's raw, it's bad. Also, will be forbidden on Shabbos to carry over. All right?
In other words, the idea is that this is time sensitive.
That's a question. Some rabbis would say no. Some rabbis would say yes. It's a dispute in halacha.
Right.
It's a dispute in halacha. Like a lot of other stuff.
Is it possible that dafka people, yes, did eat raw meat and probably it wasn't kosher even, and this is like a...
There is no reason for that not to be kosher if there is no blood. If there is a kosher shechita...
I'm saying that like the habit of the people around, not Jews, but like people, like other people...
Tatars.
Whoever. Like, and then maybe this is just a way of making sure that the Jews don't eat.
I mean, the real tartar comes with Parmesan on the top and some cheese, and that's why it's not kosher.
Tartar steak comes from the saddle of the tartar.
The Mongolians
or whatever. Yeah,
so I don't know why Jews did not eat it. I mean, I don't think only Jews did not eat it. I think it was considered, and that's what I can hear my grandmother again saying, that it's considered to be very, I would say, very bad. Like, if you eat raw meat, it's only or because you're like barbarian or because you're poor. Like, there's no reason for a person that can offer, can I would say, can cook meat to eat it raw. There's no reason. But also, there's no reason, she says, for teenagers to go to walk with jeans that has holes in it. And people do it today, right? Like, people go to the store and buy clothes that are torn, right? Why do you do that? Like,
very often more expensive.
Very often more expensive. Less cloth, right? Less cloth and more expensive. So the question is why? So people change their behaviors. I would say it is time sensitive in a sense. It's very interesting. It is in a sense time sensitive. However, he says, כשהוא חי לגמרי, what happens if this is totally, totally, totally raw? Not even slightly roasted. All right? In that sense, אין בכלל לאו דנה ללקוט עליו משום אל תאכלו ממנו נע. אבל אסור מדאורייתא שכל שאינו צלי יש אסרה תורה דרך כלל. He says, there is a difference in halacha. Is that slightly roasted or definitely 100% raw? There's different in whether it will be forbidden or not. ופירוש בשל שבשלו במים ובכל משקיעו במי פירות. Cooking is not only in water. Cooking can be also in any other liquid.
Fruit juice.
That's a question. Can you cook in oil or do you fry in oil? That's also in halachic questions. All right, that's halachic. It's also interesting. Can you cook in oil or not? All right. When you put something, let's say you have deep, right? You make French fries and there is deep oil. Do you cook it in the oil or do you fry it in the oil?
Well,
and what's the difference?
It's
fried.
But it cooks inside while you're frying it.
What about microwave? Can you put the Korban Pesach in microwave when time comes? Probably not.
It's cooked but not fried, no.
So again, all those questions, as you said, all those questions...
It was not an issue in those days because they had no... microwave, right?
Yeah, but it won't fit in the microwave anyway.
It's going to be a big leg, right? It's two of a big leg. We can have a big microwave for that. And
fry fries, you cook them inside. So you're frying and you cook it at the same time.
You fry and cook it at the same time.
Yeah, it cooks inside.
So that's a question. So obviously you will not be allowed to eat it. You need it to be roasted, right? You need to make it on fire. That is supposed to be. What is Shorshe Mitzvah Zo? He says, what is the roots of the Mitzvah? מה שכתוב בשחיטתו, לזכור נס יציאת מצרים. וזהו שנצטווינו לאכלות צלי, דווקא white צלי, white roasted, לפי שכן דרך בני מלאכים ושרים, he says, it gives a reason, why should we eat it only roasted? לפי שדרך בני מלאכים ושרים לאכול בשר צלי, שהוא מאכל טוב ומותם. Because it is the behavior of royalty to eat it like this. That's the best way to cook it. All right, they give us advice, the Torah gave us. You know what's the best way to eat your meat? Roast it, not cook. Don't take the meat and cook it in water. Don't cook it in any, don't fry it, don't put it in the microwave. Put it on the grill and use real fire for that. All right, what we call in Hebrew, mangal. Right, we do it in Yom HaAtzmaut. That's where everyone uses their Korban Pesach in our days. They go out to the parks, they open the mangal. Oh, American like to call it barbecue. Okay, showing. Numa, okay. We go with Alayesh or mangal, right? You take the mangal, you use coal, you don't use gas. It's not a regular barbecue where people do it. You need coal, you need to make your hands dirty. And it takes time to lit the fire. You need to know how to do it. It's not so easy. And it tastes different. Definitely tastes different. That's the way that also Korban Pesach needs to be. He says, this is the way of Bnei Melachim. Baruch Hashem, we celebrate our freedom on Pesach, and we are counted to be free people. We need to make ourselves as royalty as possible. For the same reason, we are eating it in what we call Hasava, right? Hasava on Pesach. We all go, we'll bend a little bit on our left side. That's how we drink the wine. Because back days, when they didn't have those chairs, but better chairs, they had those big sofas, they could bend on the side and drink like this. That's why we do it also on Pesach. Because we are, on that day, we're all royalty. All right, so also we need to eat the meat in the best way possible, in the best cooking process possible. אבל שאר העם אינם יכולים לאכול מעט בשר שתשיג ידם, כי היא מבושל כדי למלא ביטנם. He says that's the difference between royalty and simple people. ואנו שאוכלים הפסח, and we eat the Pesach, לזיכרון, as a memory, שיצאנו לחירות, להיות ממלכת כהנים ועם קדוש, ודאי ראוי לנו להתנהג באכילתו דרך חירות ושרות. We need to behave like royalty. מלבד שאכילת הצלי יורה על החיפזון, שיצאו ממצרים ולא יכלו לשתות עד שיתבשל בגדרה. And another reason it gives, after the royalty reason, is that also you need to remember that the Pesach of Mitzrayim, which is one of the differences between the first Pesach as a holiday and the subsequent Pesach, is that the first Pesach was the mitzvah to eat it בחיפזון, in a rush. They didn't have time, they had to go out of Egypt. That's why they also eat matzah, because they didn't have time to let the dough rise, right? So also they didn't have time to start cooking it. Because in order to cook something, you need to light fire, you need to bring a pot, you need to put it on it, you need to let the water warm, you need to put it inside, it takes more time. But when you put the thing on hot fire, on flames, it's very quickly going to be ready. All right? So that's also why we eat it as tzli roasted, because it needs to be on fire, because that's what they had back then. They didn't have time to start cooking it. Right? It's a longer procedure to cook it. So we eat it, that's two reasons. One, because we're royalty. Two is because we do it as a memory of what they did back then. Back then in Egypt, they didn't have time to cook it because it was a longer procedure, more complicated. That's why we do it here. V'dinei mitzvah kegonim asawot, all the dinim, all the different rules. If he did it to the kdera, or sacho b'mashkin, or b'mei perot, or b'mayim, what happened if he got wet in different sauces, or different liquids, or in shem and truma, different ideas. Zeta prateya mevorim b'psachim, in mesachet psachim, v'nohegit b'schachim, v'nkevot b'zman abayit. Back then, not anymore, right? We don't have Beis HaMikdash, so we don't have, in that sense, this Korban Pesach, which is interesting. Do we have Korban Pesach Bazman Hazeh or not? All right? Not for now. V'ha'over aleha v'achal nao mevushal okeh. The punishment is lashing. All right? V'chen imachal shnehem ke'achat lokeh malkut achat, sheshnehem lav echal v'dat haram zichrono livrecha. What happens if he ate, for example, one piece of a cooked Pesach, one meat, one piece of a raw Pesach? Well, did he do two different averot, two different sins? Did he commit two different sins or one sin? According to the Rambam, he committed one sin, not two. All right, so he's being lynched only once.
At least
the
most severe one. The most severe, right? Kim, that's how we say. Here it's only he's being lynched only once. Ve'amar zichrono livracha, and the Rambam says, ve'haramban zichrono livracha, the Rambam, the Nachmanides, manaotan shnei lavin. That's one of the disputes that the Ramban has with the Rambam. They like to disagree on many ideas. The Ramban says, no, it's two different sins, two different punishments. All right? It's not only one sin. All right? There's a dispute on this. וכתב שלוקין עליהן על כל אחד ואחד, כיוון תכתיב לא תוכלו, תתתתם, מפרד למשלו, שמעמי על כל אחד ואחד מן הפרטים. Anyway, he says, he holds like it's two different sins. Ramban, Maimonides, holds like it's one sin. All right? Sefer HaChinuch goes according to the Rambam in everything. All right? That's his big teacher. And we'll finish the mitzvah. He says, Amar zichrono livracha ki bechol ha-mitzvot yeh ha-minyan ken, shekol niftarim b'torah echad echad, vehen dvarim chalukim nimna im kol echad le-mitzvah echad b'cheshbon ha-mitzvot, kigon zed dena u-mevushal, vehen letnan u-mechir u-veseor u-dvash u-zolotam. He says that in any ideas, there is a fundamental dispute between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam, by the way, that's a way to distinct. How do you know if someone refers? Because when you read it, you know. There is nun and there is mem, right? One is Rambam, one is Ramban. How do you know it when you say it, if you want a person to know it? So in the yeshiva world, there is the tradition is to say, when you talk about Maimonides, to say Rambam. As we say, it's called in Mil El, right, in Hebrew. But when we talk about the Nachmanides, we say Ramban. So that's the difference. We don't say Rambam and Ramban. We say Rambam and Ramban. All right, that's a way to distinguish between the two when you talk. You don't have to.
Mem
comes before noon. You do this in Mil El. You're going to do the Ramban in Mil Ra. We call it. You emphasize on the ending of the word. That's how you can differentiate between the two. So one is Rambam, other one is Ramban. That's the way you do it. And we finish, we say that that's a fundamental dispute between the two. And one, Ramban would say that every each mitzvah is one punishment. Rambam would say that you can join them together to be one if they come in the same commandment and so on. There's different ideas and different examples from the Torah in Seor, in Dvash, in the Mikdash. For example, a person cannot bring honey in the Mikdash, and he cannot bring also Seor, which is also Chametz. Chametz cannot be brought in the Mikdash and honey not. What happens if someone brings Chametz and honey in the Mikdash? By the way, yeah, chametz is not allowed in the Mikdash. There's no chametz, not only on Pesach, but in Beth HaMikdash, no chametz all year long. Very interesting. Yeah.
And yes, crumbs.
No, there might be crumbs. The matzah is not yes crumble, right? Not less crumbs.
What about honey?
Not honey. Why not honey? A lot of the very interesting reasons. One of the reasons is because of Avodah Zarah. Honey was used for idolatry in different other religions, and we don't use honey in this. There's also different Hasidic ideas about the difference between honey and oil or wine, because we do use wine, we do use oil, we don't use honey. Like, why not honey? We do use water, for example, like different ideas, right? What is honey and so on? Even though we know that honey is considered to be good, right? We say Eretz Israel, we call it Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash. This honey is also dates honey. So there's also a question, is that dates honey, that bees honey, what exactly is honey? Usually when we say honey in the Torah, we talk about dates honey, not about bees honey, because they didn't know what is bees honey back then and how to make it. All right? That's also when we talk about, by the way, Tepuach Bidvash on Rosh Hashanah, we talk about originally dates honey. You're supposed to dip your apple in dates honey, not in bees honey. But dates honey, by the way, is even better than bees honey. If you've never had, it's called Silan in Arabic. Very, very, very good. Even better than maple. I'm sorry for the Canadians. Even better than maple syrup.
It's just a juice. Formation of the
it's just a juice formation of the dates. Yeah. You take exactly. Anyway, that's the machloket. It continues and explains the machloket between Rambam and Ramban. This is for today. That was mitzvot 5, 6, and 7. Bezrat Hashem, next week we'll continue with Pesach and we'll get to take about matzot. Yeah, we'll print new copies next week about
Thank
more.
You very much.
Thank you.